More questions, more answers. The following Saturday night, Peter brought Emily and Kate with him to work on the study sheets. Mr. Henderson has suggested that before Tuesday, everyone try to get through questions 1 to 4. "Good evening," Verity said with a smile as she held open the big front door. They all came tramping in, bringing the wind and snow with them. She took her friends' coats to hang them up as they left their boots by the door and followed Thomas into the kitchen. "How are you tonight?" Peter asked, tugging on a strand of her hair. "Great. I love these get-togethers. This is what I call fun." "You would," Peter responded with a grin. "Don't you?" Hesitating, Peter looked at her thoughtfully. "It's great spending time with you, but these study sheets are hard work." Thomas had the idea that they break up into two groups and come together at the end to share their results. Agreeing that this would be good, Thomas, Emily, and Kate stayed in the kitchen, and Peter and Verity decided to work at the coffee table. "I've got to admit," Peter began as they sat down on the carpet, "that the little speech Mr. Henderson gave the other night about Satan has really made me think. Why did God wait 4,000 years before he finally explained about the devil falling from heaven in Revelation, the last book of the Bible? If the devil was the serpent way back in Genesis, why wouldn't God warn people about him right at the beginning of the book?" Verity picked up her photocopied sheet from the Greek concordance and looked up at him. "Those are great questions, Peter," she encouraged. "And most people who believe in a supernatural devil believe that he was thrown out of heaven before Genesis, don't they?" Peter agreed. "And yet," he sighed with a shake of his head, "I'm still not convinced one way or the other." They began the study sheet by finding the Greek numbers and looking them up in the Greek dictionary section. "Devil means false accuser or slanderer," Verity repeated. "There are actually a few different numbers used in Strong's Concordance, but the one used the most is 1228, Diabolos." Peter wrote the information down in the space provided. He picked up the photocopy with all the places the Greek word diabolos was translated into English. "It's mostly translated devil, but there are three places where it isn't. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11 says wives shouldn't be slanderers." With a laugh, he teased, "I guess that must be a problem for women." Verity gave him a push. 2 Timothy 3, verse 3, and Titus 2, verse 3, he continued more seriously, "are telling people not to be false accusers." He examined the verses for a few moments and then he said, "So I guess this is saying that anyone can be a devil if they falsely accuse or slander." Verity leaned over to see the passages Peter was pointing to and then made notes on her study sheet. "So people can be the devil," she repeated thoughtfully. "Just as in the Old Testament, people could be Satan." Looking at the next question, she said, "Now, Mr. Henderson has asked us to see if the Old and New Testaments agree about where temptation comes from. I'll look these up, Peter." The first one Verity looked at was James 1, verses 13 to 15. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." "Wow," Peter said in surprise. "The devil isn't even mentioned, yet that verse is clearly explaining how we come to commit sin." He leaned over to look at Verity's NIV version of the verse more carefully. "Hey, this is an example of personification," he pointed out. "Look, it says, 'He is dragged away,' as if this desire was an evil monster taking the person captive. That's a figure of speech, personification. Remember learning that in English class?" "Yes," Verity replied. "Personification is when something inanimate is spoken of as though it were human. And not only is desire dragging someone away, but a child, sin, is born." Peter nodded. "Right. And the blame is entirely on the evil desire as being the initiator of the sin. This verse would be the perfect place to insert the devil instead of evil desire if he were a real being." "Instead," Verity added, thinking this paralleled the Old Testament view of sin, "this verse describes our own thoughts as being the cause of sin, just like in Genesis chapter 6 at the time of the flood." Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21 was the next passage. Verity read, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. So all these sins come from our own sinful nature, Peter marvelled. We are quite capable of all this evil without any supernatural devil's help. Mark 7, verses 20 to 23 were the words of Jesus himself. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. That's another good summary of all the bad things people could possibly think of and do, Verity stated. Jesus says it all comes from our own hearts. The next section was on angels. Looking up the passages, Psalm 103 verses 20 to 21 and Hebrews 1 verse 14, they saw that God spoke of his angels as beings that do his commands and listen to the voice of his word. All are ministering spirits. God doesn't speak of any exceptions here, Verity noticed. He could have said, except for the devil and his angels, all the rest of my angels have followed my commands, but he doesn't. Peter nodded, looking up from the Hebrew concordance. Yes, he replied, if there was an exception, it should be mentioned there. He pointed to the concordance. I thought I would look up the word angels, and it's interesting that the word doesn't always mean a divine angel. It can also be translated messenger. Sometimes this same Hebrew word, malak, is used for human messengers. He shook his head. Wow, I'm not sure how that all fits. Question 5 of the study sheet dealt with people who were delivered over to Satan in the New Testament in order to turn their hearts back to God. After looking up the passages, Peter was thinking them through aloud when he became aware that Thomas had walked over. He turned around to see Thomas standing behind him. Did you get the last one? Thomas asked excitedly. We've figured it out, I think. Emily and Kate stood by eagerly as well. All right, tell us what you think. Peter nodded, pleased to see Thomas enjoying Bible study so much. Well, it doesn't make any sense if those passages refer to a Satan who wants to take people away from God, began Thomas. But if Satan represents our own sinful desires, then delivering someone to Satan could mean giving people over to the consequences of their own sinful desires. Seeing that Peter looked uncertain, Thomas carried on. It's like this, Peter. Let's say I had a problem with wanting lots of money. All of you would try your hardest to explain to me that this was wrong from the Bible's perspective, but if I wouldn't listen and I was spending all my time making money instead of serving God first, then you would need to give me over to my obsession. Let me pursue it all I want. You would have done all you could. Now it would be up to God to use the bad experiences in my life to show me that making lots of money isn't going to bring me true happiness. Peter was nodding now, thinking that this had happened to Thomas in a different pursuit not so long ago. Yeah, that fits better than a rebellious devil somehow turning people back to God. Maybe that's it. Seeing how fast time had flown by, they decided to finish the evening by sharing all their research together. As Emily and Kate were going out the front door, Peter hung back for a second. This is all very interesting, he confessed to Verity, but I'm still having a hard time with it. There are so many passages in the New Testament that I don't understand now. I don't see how they could be explained other than by a belief in a supernatural devil. Verity patted his arm. Don't worry. I'm sure Mr. Simons will let you ask questions next Tuesday. Nodding, Peter continued, I'm sure he will, but there are so many passages, I think I'll need at least 3 nights. Laughing, Verity encouraged him to bring his best ones. Don't you have any? He inquired. No, this makes sense to me, she replied. I'm really enjoying all your questions, though. He nodded thoughtfully. What's happened to me? I didn't used to have any questions about the Bible. No, Verity replied. You weren't thinking so hard,